as we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came, O Lord. We'll be blessed because we came. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O my Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O my Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
Well, as always, I'd like to extend our most heartfelt welcome to you for tuning in the broadcast, Water from the Well, today. And of course, this day, as you probably know, has been set aside nationally as the National Day of Prayer. Of course, always the first Thursday of the month of May, which is interesting in how that coordinates with certain other events, like, for example, the communist holiday called May Day, May 1st, which celebrated in countries like Russia and Cuba and so forth. And of course, here in America, quite a number of the larger metropolitan areas, the larger cities of our country, there were illegal aliens, totaled to be somewhere in the neighborhood of a little over a million, marching in the street, proclaiming that they should be granted their rights. Excuse me, what rights do people who are illegal aliens have in America? Well, whatever rights they have from the Lord as their creator, of course, those rights are intact anywhere in the world. But here in America, if you are an illegal alien, i.e. you're a foreign invader, yes, you heard me right, they're foreign invaders. I mean, I don't think any of us would think if someone broke into our house that we would be too pleased about that. Well, America is our house, folks. We live in America. It's our house, and somewhere in the neighborhood of about 3,600 people are breaking into our house, the house of America, every day by crossing our borders illegally. So, I've said that just to basically focus you on the fact that we have many, many things to be praying about today. And while I'm thinking about it, if you've not been able yet today to make it out to any of the public prayer meetings on this National Day of Prayer, and perhaps the rest of the day you're not going to be able to make it out, well, at least stop wherever that you are. Take some time and to pray about some of the things that we'll be talking about on this broadcast and some of the things I'm sure the Holy Spirit will lead you to pray about. And if after your work day is over, you would still like to come out from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. tonight. I will be hosting a prayer time at the Greater Wakefield Resource Center at 124 Main Street in Union. So please come and join us. And I can tell you, as much as I enjoy vigorous and vibrant worship and praise time, I also am aware of the fact that right now America needs to, in a sense, have a solemn assembly. I want to focus that, focus you in on that as far as a prayer-focused not only for today, but in days to come, because there are serious things that are happening in our country that we as Christians, we need to be the watchman on the wall, we need to be intercessors, and we need to stand in the gap for our country. There are a lot of people just powering on along as if nothing should concern them, but there are a number of things that are happening in our country right now that could be the serious demise of our country. Now, is that being a doomsday prophet or something, trying to give you a scary prophecy? Well, think about it. And, of course, just what I mentioned about foreign invaders demanding their rights, saying, you can't live without us. That'd be like saying, well, the person that breaks into your house is saying that they've done you a favor, even though they've cost you so much in doing that. Well, folks, we have a number of other issues that are going on. Some of the concerns that our government is dealing with in national security and international relations, the issues of what's happening in the banking system. You go to the gas pump and see the prices continue to go up. Not many of us, I certainly know I can't, accommodate these increases. They just make it more difficult. So, I mean, there are a number of things that we need to enter into a solemn assembly to pray seriously. And remember, when we're in the presence of the Lord and we pray, the Lord will give us answers. Well, John Adams, in 1776, wrote in his Thoughts on Government, "There is no good government but what is republican," small r, by the way, "that the only valuable part of the British Constitution is so, for the true idea of a republic is an empire of laws and not of men, that as a republic is the best of governments, so that particular arrangement of the powers of society, or in other words, that form of government which is best contrived to secure an impartial and exact execution of the law is the best of republics." Folks, we need to pray for better government. We live under one of the better governments, I mean, certainly historically, the original intent of our founding fathers, the best government that the world has ever seen. But we're sadly right now being turned over to a globalist regime that is not going to help us. And, of course, anyone that knows me knows that I am not in favor of a globalist UN agenda. I believe that the Lord wants countries to remain sovereign. I don't believe that he has reversed his edict at the Tower of Babel. Well, James Madison, crafter of our Constitution, President number 4, said, "The eyes of the world being thus on our country, it is put the more on its behavior, and under the greater obligation also to do justice to the tree of liberty by an exhibition of the fine fruits we gather from it." What a challenge. Thomas Jefferson, President number 3, said, "The natural progress of things is for liberty to yield and government to gain ground." And John Adams, President number 2, wrote a letter to President number 3, Thomas Jefferson. In 1816, he wrote this. He said, "Power must never be trusted without a check." Also, President Jefferson, in his first inaugural address in 1801, said, "Equal and exact justice to all men of whatever persuasion, religious or political." And we certainly need to continue to pray those things will be. Now, here's an interesting bit. We talk about what's happening with the Federal Reserve and interest rates and all these other things, that many, many of these things just so out of control. And, of course, the global economy and jobs going to other countries, and how many people in America have lost their jobs because their industry has moved to another country. Well, you know that counterfeiting the nation's money is a serious offense. Well, the founders were especially adamant about avoiding the chaos, the inflation, and the destruction associated with the continental dollar. And that's why the Constitution is clear that only gold and silver should be legal tender in the United States. And I draw your attention to the fact that gold and silver, it's what's called specie money. That's biblical money. I mean, it always has value somewhere at some time, not like paper. But in 1792, the Coinage Act authorized the death penalty for any private citizen who counterfeited the currency. Of course, we can also say too bad they weren't explicit enough that counterfeiting by government officials is just as detrimental to the economy and the value of the dollar. And of course, we're seeing this in the world economy as people are wondering, and we certainly need to pray about that. I mean, that affects us as citizens of America, what happens to the American dollar across the world. Of course, it used to be backed up with gold and silver, but not anymore. Well, Edmund Burke, the philosopher and political theorist, said, "When bad men can combine, the good must associate, else they will fall one by one, an unpitied sacrifice in a contemptible struggle." And that's why we are joining together, not only this day, but the Lord is drawing His people together to pray, to diligently seek His face, to associate and to help one another. And we'll have answers to help our country and help this world. Does that seem a little idealistic to you? Well, with God, all things are possible. The poet and novelist Robert Louis Stevenson said, "The world has no room for cowards. We must all be ready somehow to toil, to suffer, to die. And yours is not the less noble because no drum beats before you when you go out into your daily battlefields, and no crowds shout about your coming when you return from your daily victory or defeat." And I believe that covers most of us that go out day by day and do the things we believe the Lord wants us to do. There may not be a lot of applause and whether we have a victory or defeat, but remember this, those that sow righteously in Christ will also reap righteously in Christ. Our 20th president, James Garfield, a great man of God, happens to be one of my ancestors. "Poverty is uncomfortable, but 9 times out of 10 the best thing that can happen to a young man is to be tossed overboard and compelled to sink or swim." And I guess we have that exhortation to America today. America, are you going to sink? America, are you going to swim? Our 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt, said, "A man who has never gone to school may steal from a freight car, but if he has a university education, he may steal from the whole railroad." And you notice, of course, there are many very well-educated, very wealthy people that are on trial in our country right now for doing some very bad things in business. And, of course, that just proves to us just because somebody is very well-educated doesn't mean, of course, that they're going to be necessarily good. You know, it's the blood of Christ, and we must continue to pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ go out across our nation, across the world, because better government is important, and the Lord wants it. He certainly wants civil government to reflect the things of God. But at the same time, it's only the blood of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Himself who can save people. Ronald Reagan, our 40th president, said, "No arsenal, no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and free women." And let us pray that also today, that we will remain free men and women, free in the gospel of Jesus Christ, free as Americans to do the things that please the Lord. And the philosopher Francois Fenelon said, "There is never any peace for those who resist God." Well, I've mentioned many times Chief Justice Joseph Story, one of our early justices of the Supreme Court. He said, and this ties very nicely in with the theme for the National Day of Prayer, which I think most of you have probably heard, but the theme this year for the National Day of Prayer is from 1 Samuel chapter 20, which says, "I will honor those that honor me," and the theme of "America, honor God." Well, this is what our Chief Justice in the early foundational days of our country said. "It yet remains a problem to be solved in human affairs, whether any free government can be permanent, where the public worship of God and the support of religion constitute no part of the policy or duty of the state in any assignable shape. The future experience of Christendom, and chiefly of the American states must settle this problem. As yet new in the history of the world, abundant as it has been in the experiments in the theory of government. And of course, what problem is he talking about? Public recognition of God. If you ever call our telephone number for our ministry, which is 603-522-9115, you will get a message that says, "We publicly and privately honor and worship the Lord." I believe that that is what the Lord wants. I also believe that that is what our country has been built upon and what our country needs more of now. Another prayer focus for you. Well, in 1649, the Toleration Act was passed by the Maryland Assembly. It protected Roman Catholics within the American colony against Protestant harassment, which had been rising as Oliver Cromwell's power in England increased. Once again, folks, I bring these dates and times and places out to you to show you how our country was founded, what the belief was, and of course the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, that Congress shall make no law. How many laws? No law concerning religion, the establishment of, or the prohibition against. And of course, they were talking about not having a national American Christian church. Did you know that it was around this time in 1864 that the motto, "In God We Trust," which, by the way, I have a stamp. I stamp it on all of the letters that go out from our home and from our ministry. You know, there are many ways that you can display your belief in the Lord, and you can publicly recognize the Lord. And so I do that. I take a stamp pad, and it says, "In God We Trust." Well, that first appeared on U.S. coinage, being struck on a bronze 2-cent piece issued during the American Civil War. Now, as we're praying today for our country, and by the way, I do not think that America is a better country today than it was when I was born in 1948. Now, if anybody wants to debate that issue with me, I'd be glad to debate it with you. I know there were some problems around the time that I was born concerning issues of civil rights and everything, and I'm glad that these things have been resolved and still in the process in many cases. But this is not a better country, a more moral country, a more honest country than it was. Nor is it a stronger country, though it seems that our military is the strongest in the world and so forth and so on, than in 1948. I've got good reason to believe that. But in 1955, I was 7 years of age, and I remember this program. There was a Roman Catholic religious program, "Life is Worth Living." It was aired the last time over Dumont Television. It actually premiered in 1952, so from 52 to 55, and I remember it. It was hosted by Bishop Fulton J. Sheen. Now, here's an interesting point, and I'm not endorsing the program, not endorsing Roman Catholic theology or any of that, but what I do want you to know is the change. That program actually won an Emmy during its first year of broadcast for being the most outstanding personality on television. Today, preachers, ministers are looked to be foppish and not trustworthy and whatever. Can you imagine a program like that getting an Emmy today? And here's an exhortation from the English apologist, C.S. Lewis. He wrote a letter called "Letters to an American Lady." "One of the many reasons for wishing to be a better Christian is that, if one were, one's prayers for others might be more effectual." And that certainly is an exhortation for us on a day like today, the day of prayer. Well, we could probably use a little humor right now. I know that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Well, these are some letters to God sent by some children in Texas. "Dear God, did you mean for a giraffe to look like that, or was it an accident? You don't have to worry about me. I always look both ways. Dear God, I think the staple is one of your greatest inventions. Dear God, I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying. Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There are only 4 people in our family, and I can never do it. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Dear God, I'm an American. What are you? Dear God, in Bible times, did they really talk that fancy? And dear God, please send Dennis Clark to a different camp this year. And finally, dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with my brother. Signed, Larry. So as we're praying today, let's let the Holy Spirit guide our prayers so that we pray as we should. That's in Romans chapter 8, by the way. A little boy was overheard talking to himself as he strutted through the backyard with baseball cap in place, toting ball and bat. He was heard to say, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." Then he tossed the ball into the air, swung at it, and missed. "Strike one!" Undaunted, he picked up the ball, threw it into the air, and said to himself, "I'm the greatest baseball hitter ever." And he swung at the ball again. And again he missed. "Strike two!" He paused a moment to examine his bat and ball carefully. Then, a third time, he threw the ball into the air. "I'm the greatest hitter who ever lived," he said. He swung the bat hard again, missed a third time. He cried, "Wow! Strike three! What a preacher!" Well, folks, I meant to say, what a pitcher. But there's a good message there, isn't it? Well, people need people and friends need friends. We all need to love, for a full life depends not on vast riches or great acclaim, not on success or on worldly fame, but just in knowing that someone cares and holds us close in their thoughts and prayers. For only the knowledge that we're understood makes everyday living feel wonderfully good. And we rob ourselves of life's greatest need when we lock up our hearts and fail to heed the outstretched hand reaching to find a kindred spirit whose heart and mind are lonely and longing to somehow share our joys and sorrows, and to make us aware that life's completeness and richness depends on the things we share with our loved ones and friends. That's a poem by Helen Steiner Rice. Good incentive for us as we pray today. An email after the death of Princess Diana kind of gives you an idea of what's happening in the world about globalism. Gave the truest definition of globalization. An English princess with an Egyptian boyfriend crashes in a French tunnel driving a German car with a Dutch engine driven by a Belgian who is reportedly drunk on Scottish whiskey, followed closely by Italian paparazzi on Japanese motorcycles treated by an American doctor using Brazilian medicines. And in conclusion, this email was sent by an American using technology by Bill Gates, and you're probably reading this on your computer that uses Taiwanese chips and a Korean monitor assembled by Bangladeshi workers in a Singapore plant, transported by Indian lorry drivers, hijacked by Indonesians, unloaded by Sicilian longshoremen, and trucked to you by illegals. Unfortunately, the source of this humor is unknown. This, my friends, is globalization. Well, before we get to reading scripture, I want to mention to you that if you ever spend any time, as I do, going up and praying with the legislators here at the state capitol, and of course, at the end of the month, I will be in Washington, D.C., meeting with some of our national leaders. They're making laws and laws and laws and laws. In fact, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 32 million laws have been handed down by man, have been created by man ever since Moses came down off of Mount Sinai more than 3,000 years ago. But you know, none of the laws that were ever given by man and made by man, and I sat last week in the gallery at Representatives Hall, how here in New Hampshire it's all right to murder a baby. to kill a baby in the mother's womb, but they took hours and hours deciding whether it was right to drown a skunk that you caught in a have a heart trap, or if there was unwanted kittens, whether they should be drowned, or what should be done with them. Now, folks, please don't get me wrong. Those of you that are animal lovers out there, by the way, there's not an animal on the face of the earth that's equal to the life of one baby, one human being. That's biblical fact. And we're not to torture animals or to harm them. We have dominion over them, as Scripture says. But to spend hours talking about the life of a kitten or a skunk instead of talking about the life of a human being, we got lots to pray about today, don't we? Well, in St. Cloud, Minnesota, in 1946, juvenile court judge E.J. Rugemeyer confronted a defiant 16-year-old boy accused of stealing a car and causing an accident. The judge asked the young man if he had understood that he had broken one of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not steal." The boy claimed that he had never heard of the Ten Commandments, and shocked at the teenager's ignorance, Judge Rugemeyer took out a Bible, handed it to the young man, and told him his sentence was to learn the Ten Commandments and obey them. Folks, as we pray today, let us have a resurgence of recognizing that God sent down the Ten Commandments, and remember that the Ten Commandments are the principles by which man may live with God and man may live with man. And see, they are the law. See, when people make laws today in state legislatures, they say that's the law. No, the law is from God. And I want to read to you from the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Think about this today as you're praying. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This is in the King James Version. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why should America honor God? Because the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why shall America, and should America, has America recognized God before? Absolutely, in the foundation of our country. I promise you that the early New Testament church was well aware of what this meant in the Roman Empire. As the founding of our country, our founders understood what this meant and what they wanted for this country. We are their posterity. We must pray that our country truly return to biblical Christianity, open worship, and honest acceptance of God as Lord and Savior. So remember that as you pray. America, honor God. And where does it start? You need to honor God today. Well, Lord bless you. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Serve only Jesus. Lord bless you.